And welcome everyone to another episode of the Developing Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Miles, and this is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer, because your career is about more than the code you write. So if you call yourself a programmer, a developer, a script kiddie, a database administrator, a technologist, a technical architect, whatever you call yourself, if it's your job to write code, this is the podcast for you. And to all the new listeners out there, I want to say welcome. Thanks for joining us. And for all the repeat listeners, hey, thanks for coming back and listening to another episode. And this is episode 32. That's 32, which means the show notes for this episode are available at developmentup.com/32. And I'm excited about this episode. I mean, I get excited about every episode I record, but this one had a couple of things going for it. It was the first in a series of episodes I got to record when I was at a technology conference in Nashville, Tennessee a few weeks ago. At this conference, I was able to attend a number of really interesting sessions, had some really interesting conversations with other developers, and got to sit down with some of them and record some podcast episodes. So we'll hear these in future episodes. And one of those was with Chris Albrecht, who is a senior developer at Lullabot. Now, Lullabot, they are a strategy design and Drupal development agency. And Chris himself actually has his own podcast. It's called Behind the Screens, where he meets and talks with people in the Drupal community. For those who don't know, Drupal is a PHP framework. So Chris sits and talks with people that make up that community, learns about their involvement with open source and the project, and just gets to know about them and how they make the Drupal community happen. So actually, if you're listening to this episode on the day it came out, my episode with Chris just came out the day before. I'll link to it in the show notes. Back to this conference I was at, and Chris was actually one of the presenters, and he had a session titled Managing Your Most Important Resource, You. And it was all about how to take care of yourself, how to avoid burnout, how to just make sure your life is in balance as a developer. You know, I sat in this session and it spoke to me. It was right up my alley with what we talk about here in the podcast. So afterwards, I ran up to Chris. I was like, dude, we got to talk. What you just talked about, my podcast is all about. I need to get you on it. So we found some time to sit and talk about it. And in the past on the podcast, we've talked about work-life balance, and Chris's talk goes a little bit beyond it. I'm not going to reveal it here in the intro. We get into it in the episode. So without further ado, here's me talking with Chris Albrecht, and I'll come back. And as always, we'll distill it to a couple points. Thank you for taking the time to come down and be on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So why don't you start off by telling the listeners a little bit about yourself, your development history.
So I'm a back-end developer, love being deep in the code. Been a Lullabot for 3.5 years now. Occasionally get thrown into the PM role if the situation calls for it. I really enjoy being on the back end and configuring different modules, tools, system things. I've been told I'm the process guy. I like building the tools that help the system run better.
Just for any listeners who may not be familiar, give a little explanation of who Lullabot is and what do they do.
Sure, yeah. Lullabot is a strategy design and Drupal development company. We've been around for a little over 10 years now. We started in 2006. We work primarily with enterprise-level publishing companies, a lot of media publishing, but we also do some work with higher ed, too, when some of them have had really complex systems to put together. But we have a full-service shop. We have a great design team that sometimes just they have their own engagements, and they do some beautiful things. And we have an excellent front-end team. So our staff is about 55 people large, and we cover all the bases. We always say the best experience, though, is when we have our teams working together, front-end, back-end, and design. And it's a very empowering place to work. Everybody there is exceptionally motivating, helpful, and putting people first. There are 6 key core values at Lullabot. But the one that we all go to the most, and I'll just mention that one, is be human. That's really at the center
of it
all.
That's very important, yeah.
Yeah, and so that really speaks to me, and it shows through our work and through the people at our company.
I love that it's human first, and it sounds to me then there's probably a lot of importance put on, especially the development team, for keeping yourselves balanced. And we've talked on the podcast before about work-life balance, but I'm sure I went to your talk the other day where you did talk about this, and I'll link to it in the show notes, the recording, but there's this section about why it's important to keep yourself balanced. And I won't reveal it to the listeners. I want you to break down a little bit, but you broke it down to 3 areas that I just thought was, when I heard it, I was like, that makes so much sense and it's so important.
I went through a lot of changes in the last few years of my life, both professionally and personally. And the reasons for that was I was starting to feel this burnout, and then I started looking inside to figure out what I was missing. And ultimately, I was able to boil it down, like you said, to these 3 areas, and we commonly refer to this as a work-life balance. But work and life are only 2 pieces of it. And I always think that 3 is such an important number in any culture. That boils down to the mind, body, and spirit. And it doesn't matter what you believe in terms of a higher power or anything like that. Those three things are agnostic to those, to whatever religion you might follow or what your beliefs are. And I got to thinking about that, the mind, the body, and the spirit. And I was able to sort of distill that a little bit for, you know, in the tech industry, we tend to be more introverted than we are extroverted, mm-hmm. I think. You know, that's a generalization, but I think it's a fair one. And even for someone like me who likes to get up on stage and make a goof out of himself, I realized I always thought I was an omnivert. I realized I need to have time by myself to recharge. So that qualifies me as an introvert, rather. And so these three areas, I kind of relabeled them a bit. So as an introvert, I would call the mind side of things my professional side. That's where, well, as a back-end developer, I'm always thinking analytically, problem-solving, getting really into the core of the work, logic problems. Body side of it is my personal side. So that would be the things I do outside of learning and working on projects. So that could be hanging out with my friends, going out for a beer, going for a hike. So social events, even though it's personal, still active, but not on the work. The third piece, though, is I think the piece that often gets overlooked, and that's the spiritual piece. The way I relabeled it is you could think of that as your private piece. So it could be meditating. It could just be sitting by myself, reading a book on my own time. Whatever activities I come away feeling recharged, mm-hmm. that falls into that spiritual side. Having all three of those in balance, I found, is critical to forming a good foundation that you can make decisions from. Because ultimately that was the problem, is decisions are being made with the wrong motivations behind them. You know, either you're too emotional or there are too many things and you can't figure out the right one, so yep. You're grasping at straws. And if you were to take those three areas, the professional, the personal, the private, and overlay them in a Venn diagram, you know, it's a common diagram we've all seen, you get overlaps on each two points where each two circles overlap, but then you have that one in the middle where all three overlap. So if all three areas are in good balance, that doesn't necessarily mean you're spending an equal amount of time on all of them, but whatever makes you feel refreshed, then they're all in balance. You have that space in the middle. That is your awareness, your self-actualization. I invented my own term for it. I like calling that my happy place. Everything is in order. When I have that together, I feel calm. I feel like I can make rational decisions. I can think, things slow down. And I can think more clearly and talk to people and be more eloquent about it. So once I figured all of these things out, when those circles would start to get misaligned, all of a sudden those three areas start to shift out of balance and my emotional state drops.
Yep.
And once or twice, maybe you can get away with it. You've got to spend some time to refocus those things. But when they keep shifting back and forth and out of alignment, your happy place is that space in the middle where they all meet can either completely go away or shrink down to nothing, and you're not making decisions from the right place. What can happen is you can get depressed, you can get burnt out, you can lose all your energy. That can have an effect on the people you work with, that can affect on the people in your family, but it can also have a great emotional effect on yourself. So I started to change these things and make sure that I was prioritizing things in the right order. The most amazing thing happens when you realize that and you can put that into place. I come back to work and I feel happy, and I end up being more productive. And I can get those things done.
A couple of things that you said that I wanted to hit on. One, with that last piece, where if you're out of balance, you know, if you're spending too much time on the professional and you're starting to feel burned out, and we've talked about burnout in the podcast before, and you can feel it. If you have to question it, you know it's happening. Then there are studies that show your productivity as a developer, as anybody, it drops. And you're liable to make more mistakes, more errors, get frustrated more easily, produce work that doesn't represent who you are as a developer or, you know, the skill sets you have to prove your career. Being able to keep that in balance, taking that personal time for yourself, taking that private time to recharge yourself, and then you come back refreshed, you're willing to, you have your energy levels like maxed out. And it doesn't matter if you're introvert or extrovert, right?
Right.
We all need these different balances. So I think that's really important for all developers to understand. And it's hard. It's not that junior developers don't know this, but senior developers do. Like, senior developers don't know this either. It's at certain points in your life, you're going to be unbalanced and you have to rebalance yourself. Mm-hmm. You talked about if it happens every now and then, that's okay. But if you are having to reshift a lot and rebalance a lot, that's an indication that there's a ongoing problem. And
yeah.
You should take the time to stop and figure out which one of these is out of whack. Why do I have to keep, you know, shifting my priorities, missing, you know, important work things or important personal things, and how can I adjust that? Maybe the percentage of each one you have to change to really align with what your life is.
They're not always equal in how much time it takes to get them in balance. That'll depend on the person. You know, it's whatever you like to do, whatever your interests are. But you said something very interesting about, you know, it's not something that a senior dev knows and a junior dev doesn't. Yeah, it just got me thinking. I think the junior devs, and if we're thinking this in terms of age and, you know, relative time in the industry,
yeah.
There's been a big shift overall lately. I've seen a lot more agencies like, you know, Lullabot, my company does it for one, but a lot of these other agencies taking this to heart as well and giving their, you know, treat adults like adults and encourage them to take time for themselves, to stop in the middle of the day and go pick your kids up from school if you need to, just get the work done. That shift is happening throughout the industry. So companies are realizing, like you said, that when you have everything in balance, you become more productive, you become happier, and that, I mean, that shows through with your coworkers, that makes your company look better. That, I mean, not to say that this is all to make your company look better, but it's a better energy and a better experience all around for everybody. So I think there may be more of the junior devs growing into that, whereas those of us who have been in the community for much longer or in industry for much longer probably grew up with this work as hard as you can to get it all done, put in the overtime, that mentality, which was sort of ingrained 10, 15, 20 years ago.
That's been the mindsets to follow.
So to take that shift I think it's probably harder for somebody who's been around a little longer to make that mindset change, to sit down and really put it down and look at it and say, makes sense to me now. I need to start changing the way I've been doing things for so long to get this to happen. And I mean, there are some simple things you can do to change your behaviors and change your habits to get these things in line. And the key to it is do it in moderation, you know, like anything. If you make too many changes all at once, your subconscious, your body will rebound against those pretty hard and say, like, well, you know, slow it down a bit. Maybe we shouldn't be doing all this.
That's one of the reasons why, like, New Year's resolutions fail.
Oh, absolutely.
Small doses, small baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
Same way you set goals.
Yes.
You set lofty goals. You set smart goals that are small, achievable things that you can take that step and then make progress.
So some of the things that I've done in steps to get here, and, you know, I had to learn this lesson the hard way, too. I used to do the same thing. Okay, this year I'm going to learn how to play the guitar better, and I'm going to play every day, when I went from playing maybe a lick or two once a week. Yeah, you can't handle all that at once. So very simple things like cutting out sugary drinks and fast food. That stuff is like pouring sugar in your gas tank. It destroys your energy and it slows you down and you feel lethargic. If you're a heavy fast food and soda drinker, start by doing one less soda a week, or, you know, one less trip to whatever fast food restaurant you go to. Try it slowly and wean yourself back if that's a change you want to make. And I highly recommend, if you are doing that, that you make that change, because the improvement that I felt after I did that was astounding. I just felt happier during the day. I would wake up so much easier in the mornings. And throughout the day, I wouldn't get that sort of sticky feeling towards, you know, the 2, 3 o'clock area. If you can go outside even just for a few minutes, getting some of that sunlight, vitamin D, and fresh air has been proven to improve your mood, reduce your stress, and improve your focus.
Yeah.
So just that alone. But if you can take a 30-minute walk or have your lunch, walk for 30 minutes, come back to your desk, huge, huge improvements on that. On your overall feeling of, you know, you're working on your personal side or your, you know, it's private side. Either way, it's going to help you out. So those were really big things that had a really big impact on me to get that side in balance. Because I think that was probably the one that was the most out of balance for me. I wasn't taking enough care of myself. But then there's some other really simple things on the other side that you can do as well. So most of us in the tech industry work at a computer, at some sort of workstation. Stand up when you can. But every 25 minutes even, take a break from your computer. There's a really well-tested technique out there called the Pomodoro technique. There's so many apps out there. I mean, you could use your smartphone if you wanted to and just set a 25-minute timer. But I think I paid $2 for this to help them with development, and it sits in the corner of my screen. It's very small and unobtrusive. And every 25 minutes, it bounces around in the corner of my screen, and I stand up, I turn away from the screen. Maybe I'll do a few push-ups, or I'll just walk downstairs. I'll get some water. The important thing is just to turn away from the screen, and I can hear developers screaming now, like, I'm so deep in the code, if you disrupt my...
Yeah, the zone.
Yeah. So this is not, like any of these things, this is not a hard set rule, do it, don't do it. If it's broken, you're over. It's a guideline. If you are really deep in a logic problem and you don't want to disrupt your conscience or your concentration, go ahead and try and finish that through. When you're done, though, step away. If it's something where you're not that deep, just try this, and I bet it'll work. When you step away... 5 minutes, That's my little timer will bounce around after 5 minutes and tell me it's time to come back and make a little ringing noise, like a little alarm clock. So I come back to the computer, and my focus is like twice as high as it was when I left. And I look back at the thing I was working on, and I can finish it more quickly. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, oh, yeah, that's it right there. There it is. And I've got everything laid out. When you spend all that time and energy focusing on one thing, it's a downward slope. You know, your level of effort or productivity starts to decrease the longer you stare at it and work on it for one time. So taking those breaks might seem counterintuitive, but if anyone's interested, try it once or twice and see how you feel at the end of the day. I would put money on you're going to feel like the day went by quicker, you got more done, and you don't feel burnt out, or as burnt out at least. It's been a huge changer for me. So that's a way to help kind of manage that professional side of you as well. And then it's really about prioritizing. We tend to get a lot of things thrown at us at once, especially when we have these devices in front of us. There are notifications to do this, do that. People are asking you for this and that, and there's email and all these things that you might want to do, important things. But we can easily lose our focus and get distracted by trying to jump at each one of those things. So another great tip that has really helped me out to kind of balance that personal side of things too is to take those things and write them down, to keep your focus where you're at, and then come back and look at them later, prioritize them later. To-do lists, a simple to-do list app is like my best friend. I would be lost without that. Having all those thoughts rattling around in your head is distracting. It causes you to lose focus, and it can take away from those other important areas as well.
Have you ever read the book Deep Work by Cal Newport?
I love that.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, that's totally what gets advocated in this book is when remove those distractions. What I like about it is it says you actually set time for those distractions. Like, mm-hmm. All right, I'm scheduling at this time. That's when I'm going to go on social media. That's when I'm going to check my email. So that way you're not constantly when you have a down moment, maybe your code's compiling or something.
Sure.
Or you're pushing to the server or a build's going on. Then you're like, oh, I'm just going to switch over and like read the news. But if you schedule that time when you can get distracted, you're more likely to be able to focus on what you need to do, mm-hmm. and keep that energy level where you need it to be. And then you take that mental break.
Yeah, Cal Newport has a couple of really, really good books about these things. Definitely one I would recommend to check out if you're trying to improve your focus or get a leg up, get a little more balanced. Absolutely.
All the tips you're giving, I think, are very important. And even if the listeners have different methods they want to use, I think it shows great examples. One thing I want to abstract from it that I'm getting from what you're saying for both the professional, the personal, and the private is about keeping all these in balance. Each one of them, I think, within each, you can have healthy habits and bad habits. And mm-hmm. It's about figuring out what are the healthy habits for you for maintaining those things in balance, you know, whatever the balance is. And one of the things that may be hard if you're a developer to say, I can't work as much as I'm doing because it's burning me out, but I don't feel comfortable. I can't make that decision at my work because my work isn't at that level yet to prioritize those things. I think it's important to be able to be honest with your manager if you have one and be like, listen, other things in my life are being affected by this, and I know I could be way more performant, deliver more value to the company, but I need your help with this. And in working with them to find a balance that works for you, works for your company, and so that everyone is as happy as can be. If you could be 100% happy, it would probably be like your professional time would be like zero and your personal private time would be like 100%.
Right.
But it's finding, again, it's that balance between those three aspects of it, and you control the two of them, and I think you don't always have control over the professional ones. So making sure to reach out with the people who you need to work with, you know, your bosses, your managers, your clients, even if you're a freelancer, setting those boundaries or helping to set guidelines and have them make sure they buy into it and they understand why. You're not always going to get your way, but just explaining why it's important, finding some of these studies and showing them the data. If they don't agree with it, it may be an indication that, you know, that may not be the place for you because it's going to keep you out of balance. And you're the only one who spends 24 hours a day with yourself. You're the only one in charge of your development career. So if you're in an environment that's not conducive to what you need to be productive, if you have the opportunity to, you know, finding a new opportunity, a new scenario, a new place to put yourself so you can rebalance yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing about this industry is that there's no scarcity of desire for employment.
Yeah.
You can just look at LinkedIn and see how many emails are coming through and messages coming in about people looking for good work. So, and I think if you can recognize that in yourself, that I know I'm short on this area and it's you know, then you're right. The professional one is the hardest to control, especially if you're working for somebody else. Even if you weren't working for someone else, that's still like your mental development. I think we all have some sort of a need. Maybe that's generalizing the industry again, but a need to learn and to improve. So that's your self-improvement mm-hmm. side too, if you're not spending all your time working for a job. I think I would probably still spend time in code just doing my own things, at least part of the time.
I mean, you became a developer for a reason, right? You like
exactly.
That stuff,
so yeah. But if you can be aware of that and talk to your employer about that and tell them, like you said it, if your employer comes back to you and says, well, no, you've got to, let the kids stay at school or let your wife take the kids. This has to get done today. That's an absolutely monstrous red flag to throw up and maybe start looking around and seeing what else is out there. Because if an employer is not going to see the value in their people, I would bet that that company doesn't do very well and maybe isn't even around very long.
There'll be those one-off cases. Like if you're in crunch time, sometimes projects happen, right? And you have to do that. But if that's a reoccurring theme, yeah, it's red flag.
Yep. And I've got a great example of that even, is my first project at Lullabot. We were, I came in and there were three other developers, or there's a project manager and two other developers on, and this was September. They were supposed to get comps in March. We didn't get them until like late September.
Oh,
we're supposed to launch in November and like redesign this entire monstrous site. The whole thing was going just downhill so fast. It was being terribly, it was just being mismanaged to a degree. We were missing things. There was a lack of communication between the right departments. So Lullabot stepped in and we had our COO come in and run as sort of the business side project manager. And then we had my development manager, my direct manager, came in and he took over and organized the dev team and set up our tools and our systems and our environments. And for the remainder of that project until it launched mid-January, which was later than they wanted to, I watched them work with the clients and get them to say, yes, thank you for all of these things. But at the same time, we just kept onboarding more and more developers to try and hit some of these goals all through the holidays. And I remember thinking they're asking me to do nights and weekends. They're asking me, not telling me, first of all. And some of the days were really long. Some of the code was very frustrating. And my wife's like, this is the job you really wanted? And I'm like, yes, this is awesome. So the way I remember this going was waking up, especially early in the morning, and thinking, I wish I could do something else today, but never, I don't want to go to work. Yeah. The people that I worked with were fantastic. The clients even were demanding, but they understood people. They were great clients. The product was coming together well. All of us, at one point, we were punching out 30 tickets a day. Wow. It was an incredible work rate we had going through, and it was all just working together. But the tone of everybody was supportive and understanding. And like I said, asking if we could work on a Saturday or Sunday, not telling us we had to.
People as humans, not as machines.
Exactly.
Right?
And you know what? Most of the time we're like, if that's what it's going to take to get it done, then I can put a few hours in on Saturday. We had one guy even, we're calling this the Christmas Eve miracle. This stupid video player we were trying to make work on the site, it was not going well at all. He spent 20 hours on Christmas Eve to get the video player working. He was up till like 4 in the morning.
Wow.
Or something like that. And so we all came into work, the next week. Obviously we did take our holidays when we could.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we came back in, we're like, oh my God, Mike got the whole thing. He got the video player working. He's like, yeah, I was up till 4 in the morning. It was a Christmas miracle. And that was a huge milestone for this project. So that was just the way it was going, though. Like I remember being on teams where that just wouldn't have flied. Like there was no way. So yeah, I mean, it was tough. There were times I wanted to be doing other things. I wanted a break. But being my first project and seeing how it was run, I mean, I proved myself pretty well. But it was great to see how, from my side, my company, my management and directors, to the client side, how they worked together to make sure that they had our backs. Like, that the client was not pushing on the developers.
Yeah.
That really showed me a lot of how a good company is run, and that just goes to show why companies like Lullabot are still around and doing so well, because all of that comes through. We still have those clients. We still work on their projects.
I just want to finish it up here. What would be your one piece of non-technical career advice for developers out there?
Ooh, non-technical career advice for developers. Choose something to work on that you don't know how to do. Volunteer to work on a project where you don't know maybe the language the code is written in completely, or maybe even just if you're a back-end developer, take something in the front end and try and put it together, or vice versa. Do a little bit of that that cross work, because it will make you so much more valuable, first of all, to your company and your employer. But it's good to stretch your mind in different directions too and understand how the other sides work.
I think that's great advice. Thank you for sharing that. So thank you for being on the podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time. It was a great conversation.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, this was a lot of fun.
And again, I want to thank Chris for taking the time at that technology conference to sit down with me and have this really interesting and insightful conversation on how to be a balanced developer. If you want to know more about this subject, I've linked to Chris's presentation that, you know, this conversation was based off of in the show notes, as well as to his podcast Behind the Screens. Selfishly, I will admit the link to his podcast is the episode I was a guest on, so a little cross promotion there. Now, just to distill a couple of points about what Chris and I talked about, I just reiterate, again, it's about thinking beyond just work-life balance. It's about making sure your professional, your personal, and your private lives are just at the right balance that works for you. And professional means, you know, the stuff you do at work to get your job done. The personal is the things you do for yourself outside of work. And then the private is what you do to recharge yourself when you're on your own. And I think taking stock of all three of those and finding, you know, what Chris calls the happy place is really important to prevent burnout and to make sure you are feeling fulfilled with your life and your career as a developer. Those are what I took away from there. I'm definitely going to start being more mindful of those three aspects of my life in my development career and use some of the tips and tricks that Chris talked about that helped him progress in it. If you have ideas that you gained from this, I'd love to hear them. Again, the show notes for this are at developingup.com/32. And if you want to share your further thoughts and opinions about this episode or any episode or just development in general, there's a number of outlets you can use. So there's the website, developingup.com, that features our full library of recorded episodes with show notes and sections for comments and conversations. You can find us on Twitter at DevUpPodcast or myself personally at MikeMiles86, or send a good old-fashioned email at hello@developingup.com or to me at Mike@developingup.com. And I'd greatly appreciate your help in reaching a wider development audience if you could leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you get your podcast. It helps other developers find this podcast and get better at their careers. So until the next episode, I wish you happy developing.